This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. This is Alan Ellis, and I'm here all by my lonely self today, sitting in our back room, just, you know, got the headsets on and the microphone, and just kind of looking around going, I wonder where Sparky is. Well, Robin's sleeping today. She's had some tough medical procedures this week on her back, and she's, you know, a couple shots here and a couple shots there. So the steroids kind of, you know, keep her awake, you know. So, don't sleep well. But maybe she'll be here, maybe she won't be. So, sorry to disappoint all her individual fans out there this morning. It's just me. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors. And we talk about those topics with you. If you would like to give us a call, something happened to you, you have a question about any particular topic, you know, for the upcoming hunting season, if you have a fishing question, if you have a crabbing question, if you have a wildlife question, we'll do our best to answer it. And, you know, we've been here almost 31 years. And actually, it's almost, it'll be almost 32 years, won't it, Chris? December 88 to December 2020, that'll be 32 years, yeah. So that's kind of a landmark. I mean, it's almost half my life, so. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. We found a picture the other day. It's in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly. If you want to see that, MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com, of me with my first deer. And I'll never forget it. It happened 50 years ago in October. I was 16 years old and took my first deer with a recurve bow, a Browning Cobra, which was a little short bow. I still have it. Don't shoot it anymore, but I still have it. And it was quite an experience. So maybe I'll tell you about that sometime if somebody asks. And anybody cares, you know. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, Alan. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Can't complain.
Good.
I'm dry.
That's one good thing. So am I, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, that is a good sign when you're dry.
It is. It is indeed. I'll tell you, I got home just before all that mess started. Yesterday, I was on the road to Southern Maryland down in Charles, and I think I was in Prince George's, Charles and St. Mary's and Calvert County and Arundel County, and it was relatively dry till I got to Edgewater, and that was about 5:30-ish, and it was starting to cloud up then, and hit a little bit of it coming across the Bay Bridge, not bad, and then finally got home, and boy, after that, the skies opened up, so we've had some rain last night for sure.
Yeah, and apparently they're calling for rain later today as the storm makes its way up from Tennessee.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
it's going to be a little wet.
Yeah, a little bit.
But it's okay.
It's okay with me.
Exactly.
Yep. So, as long as I have power and Robin has TV and, you know, we're dry and safe and everything else, and I hope everybody else is too. So I feel very sorry for those folks in Louisiana and Texas that got hammered by that that terrific Hurricane Laura. You know, that area is, of course, if you look at the Gulf coastline, you can see where storms over the eons have carved out their niches by their landfall, you know. And you look up, you look along the peninsula of Florida, and you see those cutouts there in North Carolina and so forth where storms have sat and churned, you know. And then they wonder, why? I wonder why it's coming up the coast. Well, they always have. I wonder why it's going in the Gulf. Well, they always have. That's why the land looks like it does. So, anyway, just my opinion.
Well, I mean, that's why you had the barrier islands on the coast of North Carolina.
That's correct.
They were carved out because of the various hurricanes, and there are shipwrecks everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right along the coast. So,
no question.
Yeah, it's
an barrier islands.
Barrier islands
all the way up to Maryland.
True. And then as far as the Gulf Coast is concerned, I don't think those poor people have recovered from Katrina.
No, I don't believe they have. I don't believe they have. So, it takes a long time. Look at Maryland when it was hit back in the 70s by Agnes, you know, and what it did to the fishery in the Susquehanna River, and what it did, you know, during those days. It took decades to start to recover from that. So, no question. And we've been hit by a couple other ones along the way since I've been here. I wasn't here during Agnes, but. There have been a few that have come up the bay and caused some damage. So, hey, Chris.
Yes, sir.
Got a little book in the mail, didn't you?
Yes, I did. And it's a gorgeous book, and I strongly suggest everybody get a copy.
It is. It's history, is
yes.
What it is. If you're a hunter, this history takes us back more than 30 years. Different things on wildlife management, different things of people who have taken notable deer. And if you have a deer that's in the Maryland record book, you're in the book. If you have a deer that's in the Maryland record, you're in the book. I like the fact that, excuse me, we were Bucks, Bears, Stags. That's our group. Our team was able to measure almost 300 deer, and our records are all in there. But we were able to pull from the Boone and Crockett Club and the Pope and Young Club, which are the national repositories for outstanding animals. And Boone and Crockett, you know, by any method, and Pope and Young by compound and, vertical bow only. There's, I counted 900 and some records in the book from Pope and Young. I didn't count the Boone and Crockett, but I think there's over 300 in there. But then we have stories and pictures and, you know, these are local folks. Just got a nice compliment from Vincent Lee Jordan, who had the state record for years and years and years. Got a nice note from his sister yesterday, who got the deer. And you know, there's a personal story by by his sister who talked about it. Excuse me. And by another fellow who was there. This deer had 39 points. It was a non-typical rack, and it would score over 217 and 2/8 points, and it held the record for inches of antler, held the record for many, many years. That story's in there. And then I was with Charlie Wallace yesterday. I was invited to his home. Charlie lives in southern Maryland, Leonardtown, and he has taken the number one typical crossbow buck in Maryland called Bruno, and Charlie's story's in there too. And I got to see Bruno hanging on the wall, you know, beautiful shoulder mount. And I will tell you, it eclipsed. Charlie has some pretty impressive deer, and Bruno eclipsed everything that Charlie has taken in a lifetime of hunting. This was a magnificent beast. Let me see if I can find it here. So, you know, we've got the stories. We've got archery season coming up. I mean, anybody needs this book to see what kind of record book deer we have here in Maryland. I mean, it's amazing. It really is, as far as the content. And I think you liked it too, Chris. I mean, you're not necessarily a deer hunter, but I think you were overly impressed with what we were able to put together and as far as this book.
That's very true. I mean, I haven't gotten into deer hunting yet. I'm still trying to get that for a squirrel. But
yeah.
No, as I was saying, you know, I haven't had a chance to really go through it. But what I did notice, the first thing I noticed is, yeah, you have all the records and so forth. But what takes it away from seeing nothing but numbers is the personal stories behind it. So it makes it a little bit more a little bit more intimate story, and it helps people understand as far as how the scoring takes place, but it puts numbers with the people and makes it more more homey, more realistic. I can't think of the words right off the top of my head, but it brings those numbers to life.
It does. Charlie's typical whitetail, he nicknamed Bruno, had a gross score of 186 and 7/8 and a net score of 172 and 3/8. I mean, that's record book territory, especially for archery, you know, for bow hunting, crossbow, that was. So, you know, we're just enjoying the book, you know. Let's talk to Dale. Good morning, Dale.
Morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Not too bad. I trust the boss is going to be up in Animal, but today you might have to make a little run to that place in Cambridge with the big donut sign.
Oh, you never know what might show up. We might.
Yeah, get her the daily special.
Yeah, she's the one that does the research on the daily special for Bay Country Bakery, that's for sure. So.
Yeah. Excellent book, Alan. I'm just getting into it. It really, really is fascinating. I think the pictures, it just goes to show you that no two trophies are ever the same.
Exactly.
In terms of configuration and color, and it's just really interesting. A couple of questions. The Crutchfield buck.
Yes, sir.
I see there it wasn't entered in Boone and Crockett.
It was not.
Is there a reason behind that?
Yes, there is. The Crutchfield buck was measured, I believe, by an OM, official measure, in, if I remember, North Carolina, maybe Virginia. And to be an animal of that nature to be submitted to Boone and Crockett, it needed to be panel scored by several representatives of Boone and Crockett. And Mr. Crutchfield just decided not to have it panel scored and didn't have it put in the records. It's, you know, 268-inch white-tailed, non-typical white-tailed deer.
Unbelievable.
With everything. I mean, mass and points and spread and the whole thing. It is a magnificent animal, no question. And, you know, he's not real big on the record thing, you know. This is the largest non-typical deer taken on the entire East Coast ever, right here in Maryland.
How would that have ranked overall in Boone and Crockett, Alan? I don't have a book in front of me.
Boone and Crockett. All right. Let's see. For Maryland, that would be number one, of course.
Oh, sure. But in terms of overall for Boone and Crockett.
Well, interestingly enough, there was another deer taken in the same county, Charles County, by Donza Watson that year. And Donza's picture's in there.
Right.
A big drop-tine buck in Charles County, taken on the 24th opening day of the 2007 season, that scored 248 and 7/8. And that's the largest deer taken in Maryland. The Crutchfield buck would have been 20 inches larger than that.
Yeah.
Yep. And then...
I'm just wondering how that, though, would have scored, you know, the Crutchfield buck, how that would have ranked overall in Boone and Crockett.
Oh, in Boone and Crockett. I don't know what the top deer is in Boone and Crockett. I think there was a archery buck taken here a couple of years ago that went over 300, 326 or something like that. So, yeah, that's the largest non-typical one, and that was quite an animal. So.
Yeah. Second point, I guess it would have been an editing nightmare, but did you consider putting the pictures of, say, the top three in each category together? It would have been nice to be able to see those.
Compared to one another?
Yeah, compared to one another. I thought that would have been...
That's a great idea. That really is.
Yeah. The third point, Alan, and the thing that I bet I've read this little snippet four or five times is that Saunders buck. What an interesting. I mean, Agatha Christie would have loved that.
That Saunders buck
that's incredible.
That Saunders buck was found in a bean field, I believe, in Prince George's County by Rob Saunders in 88 or 89, I believe. And the skull and the antlers intact were arrived in Baltimore and were mounted by a fellow by the name of Marty Houlihan.
Right.
Marty Houlihan worked out of a plumbing shop in Brooklyn, I believe. Now, believe it or not, Marty Houlihan mounted the 8-point buck that I'm looking at on my fireplace right now.
No kidding.
Yes. I took that deer, I think, 95, and Marty was still here. Marty's since gone to Wyoming or Colorado or Montana or somewhere. Yeah, he's a big game guide, or was. Kind of lost track of him.
Yeah.
The owner of the plumbing shop killed a big deer up in Canada, 170 class animal.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a picture online where he's holding the 170 class in one hand and this Saunders buck in the other, and there's just no comparison. Okay.
Well, I mean, it's just unbelievable.
It is an unbelievable. It's got over 30 inch main beams. The longest main beams ever recorded on a white-tailed deer.
Yeah. The fact, though, that in reading your little descriptive paragraph,
mm-hmm.
it was actually measured by
mm-hmm.
Boone and Crockett.
Well, we think so. We think so. We haven't been able to get. We've reached out to the fellow that measured it, and he hasn't gotten back to us. We don't know if it was never submitted to Boone and Crockett.
Yeah. I mean, that's a mystery. I mean, it's just like I say, Agatha Christie would have loved this.
Right.
I mean, she could have had old Perot working on the case.
You're right.
Interesting.
Yeah, the thing about that deer is shortly after it was measured, it disappeared from Maryland.
Yeah.
We don't know where it got to. We think that Dick Idle, the renowned hunter, antler collector, purchased it out of state and moved on from there to another collector in what we believe was Pennsylvania, and then it vanished. And Idle wrote about it in 1990 in North American Whitetail. And and our guys looked at it and said that deer wasn't scored right. They said it, you know, it's supposed to score 207 or something like that as a typical, and 233 as a non-typical. And, you know, they were looking at it and they're saying, well, that isn't right. Even just from the pictures, we can tell that's not scored correctly. So we're our guys are looking at it, our Boone and Crockett measures are looking at it and going, well, you know, wonder who measured it and why and whatever, you know, why it was never submitted and on and on. So it is an enigma. There's no question. Yeah,
that was my next question. Do any of your guys have a gut feeling as to what it would have scored? Now, was it measured as a typical or non-typical?
It was measured as both, and that's where, you know, you get a typical score on the frame, whether it's a typical 8-point or, that's what Boone and Crockett is all about, is symmetry.
Right.
So you get that basic 8 or 10 or 12-point frame. Okay, and then all the side points and kickers and stickers and drop times and all that are counted as abnormal points.
Right.
On a typical score, they're deducted. On a non-typical score, subtracted. On a non-typical score, they're added back in.
Added back in.
Yeah. So, you know, they were looking at the numbers and saying, well, that main beam does this and that split G2 does that, and I can't remember all the stuff that they were discussing I don't know if they could have even speculated on the score without laying hands on it. So
yeah, I was going to say, because it would just, they might have had a range, Alan, from here to here, but I just found it fascinating, just the whole story behind that particular trophy.
Yep.
The fact that it's just so clouded in mystery, and
it is.
Hopefully it's still out there somewhere.
Oh, I think it is. I reached out to Dick Idle, a friend of Dick Idle's, never got a response back. I don't know if the guy even ever forwarded my email to him. But I reached out to Dick, and didn't hear a reply. And then I reached out to, you know, when I was at Bass Pro Shops as their promotions manager, excuse me, I had the trailer called the King of Bucks come in there a couple of times to display these giant actual racks of the actual deer, mm-hmm. not the reproductions, several times. So I reached out to Bass Pro Shop and said, is this animal in the King of Bucks? And they said, no. And the guy that handles the displays and so forth in the stores got back to me, and he said, no. But I think maybe, perhaps, one of our vendors knows something about this deer. And I said, great, get back to me. And then COVID hit, and you know, we were done. Yeah. So for that point, at that point.
Wow. So, yep. Well, as my dad used to say, it gets curiouser and curiouser.
Exactly, you know? It does, yes. So
it'll be interesting, though, if you do find out something about it to put it in the...
Yes, indeed.
Yep. Yeah, so... Yep. And I like the ending of the book, to be continued. I thought that was very appropriate.
Yeah, we actually had a meeting the other night. One of our sponsors is Mike Katina. Mike and Helen Katina's at Annie's Paramount Steakhouse. And all of our team got together. A lot of them brought their wives and so forth. We had a nice little get together there. Mike came over and you know, amused the crowd with some of his stuff. And Mike's actually in the book. If you page through there in the muzzleloader section, non-typical, you'll see Mike Katina's picture.
Okay.
But we got together, and it was all about celebrating the book, you know, it wasn't, and
yeah.
Fellowship and so forth. We didn't talk about policy. But since, we've talked about some ideas moving forward, and I think we're going to, you know, make that a point of discussion here in the next couple of weeks and figure out the way forward. But we've already measured animals for the next book, so, or for
great,
the next supplement. So,
well, like I say, you might want to consider, like a suggested, putting the pictures of the top three or four together, because I think that would be a good, because I was going from one to another trying to figure out who was one and who was two. And
well, that's good. That's good. You didn't have all that at your fingertips. I'm glad that you were able to go back and forth. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I was, like I said, I'm slowly getting through it. It's slow and steady wins the race, Alan. So,
exactly. Yep.
But nice job. Nice job.
Thank you.
Next time
that.
We get together, I'll have to have you put pen to paper. And
I'll be glad to do that. Yeah, we all signed each other's book and wrote funny stuff in each other's book the other night. It's pretty funny. So.
Okay, good.
All right, buddy.
Well,
thanks.
Hope the boss feels better.
Yes, indeed. I appreciate that, and I'll pass that on.
Please do.
Thanks, all right, buddy. Take
okay.
care, Dale. All right. See you later. Bye-bye. So we got an email from Ted. Said, what actually defines a point on a deer rack? I've heard it to be greater than 1 inch. 1 inch or greater is correct. You know, the baseline is the baseline is the surface of the rack, projects up 1 point or 1 inch. And he said, when we were kids, you say you have to be able to hang a ring on it. Yeah, I heard that too, you know. And all of a sudden, the 18-point buck with a couple little stickers and kickers becomes a, you know, 12-point real quick, because it is a 1 inch projection from the main beam on that, as far as a point or another point, you know. So, yep, 1 inch defines it. That's exactly correct, Ted. So glad to hear that. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Yep. I got also an email from John B. I thought Dale spoke with a lot of smarts before, but darn, he sure is right. It is an awesome book. I love it. So, rave reviews from all across the spectrum, no matter whether you got a sika deer, a white tail, a black bear, it's just, we're just glad to be able to put it out there. So 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Is it time for a break, Chris? I'm not even paying attention. I guess it's past time, isn't it?
Yeah, it is just a little past time.
Yeah, okay. We'll make up for that. Let's see. Who we got here? Clyde's Sports Shop. Oh, yeah. Clyde's has the book, by the way. Anybody wants to stop by and purchase a copy at Clyde's Sports Shop, Maryland's finest whitetail bucks, black bears, sika stag, the records and the legacy, first edition 2020, is available at Clyde's Sports Shop at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. We were talking about a lot of things, some of the crab traps, the topless crab traps I've been talking about. Clyde's is out, and you know, they've got the compact ones, you know, the four door ones, but the stackable jobs, can't get them, can't find them, don't know why. And a lot of things like that in this industry are back ordered and behind the times and 8 weeks back and that type of thing. But I'll tell you one thing they do have plenty of, and that's Browning Firearms. Browning Firearms. You know, if you're just looking for a great rifle, one you'll never have to buy another rifle if you don't want to, you know, think about something that'll take all manner of North American game. It'll take an elk, it'll take a moose, it'll take a white-tailed deer with ease, it'll take a black bear, no problem. That would be the X-Bolt. The X-Bolt is extremely accurate. It's a bolt-action, big-game hunting rifle, high-powered rifle. It comes in all standard, all Magnum, and all short Magnum calibers. Now, I'm thinking 300 Winchester Mag, and I've got one. I've got the A-Bolt, synthetic, and I would be easily able to take anything just about that walks on this continent. Maybe with the exception of a brown bear. But I wouldn't be afraid to use it on a brown bear either. So if I ever get my bucket list moose hunt in, I'll have my Browning 300 Winchester Magnum available and at my side. It has an adjustable feather trigger and a detachable rotary magazine, and they're just one of the finest firearms made. And that's the X-Bolt from Browning. Now, that's the high-powered rifle side. On the shotgun side, let's take a look at the new A5, the most reliable, fastest cycling, best balanced, and softest shooting recoil-operated autoloader on the planet. That's right. Comes in Mossy Oak Shadow Grass blades, DuraTouch camo, so you blend right in with the goose blind or the duck blind, because it has fiber optic front sight, a humpback receiver, just like the old days, ergonomically balanced. It's a recoil-operated kinematic drive is what they call it, semi-automatic or auto-loader shotgun with a 100,000 round or 5-year guarantee. Those two are my top recommendations at Clyde Sports Shop. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, your full-line Browning dealer, just off Beltway exit number 9, 410-242-6108, 242-6108. They've got gunsmithing and scope mounting, licenses, ammunition, and much, much more. Clyde Sports Shop. Ah, yes. Somebody else mentioned Bay Country Baker this morning. If Robin was here, she would be telling us what the special was this week. And we may even hear from Dave Levy and tell us what the specials are. He may even text during the show because I know he listens. Hi, Dave. You know, when I'm on Route 50 and I'm going hunting, I'm going to the beach, or I'm going fishing down at Blackwater, or something like that, my mouth, my belly, can't wait to stop at Bay Country Bakery for a donut or a nice sandwich and a fresh cup of hot coffee. Bay Country Bakery in Cambridge has the most delicious fresh-baked donuts and pastries and cookies and cakes and breads on Maryland's Eastern Shore, Delmarva Peninsula, Maryland, and the universe. Enough for everyone in the boat, everyone at camp, and you can grab a tasty breakfast sandwich, too. Bay Country Baker's open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Find Bay Country Baker. Here's what I do. I drive through Cambridge, and I got my eyes on the right-hand side of the road. Got my eyes on the road, but I'm kind of got that right eye looking over on the side. And when I spot that big, giant donut up ahead, I know my mouth starts watering, and there I am. And I know I'm going to pull in the parking lot right there at Bay Country Bakery. This big donut is a pink frosted donut with sprinkles on it, 10 feet tall on the side of the building, and that's how you find it. That's right. Dave and Gina Levy, I mentioned Dave before, they're your hosts, they're trained chefs, and they strive to bring you the best, and they do bring you the best. Bay Country Bakery, 2951 Coastal Highway, just through Cambridge. That's Route 50 East. Think big donut. That's what you look for. Visit their website, like their Facebook page, Bay Country Bakery. Be sure to stop by and say hello. You might even see Robin and me there. We'll be right back after this.
Well, what's left of Laura working across Baltimore, hang on today. Could be an active day with half-inch to one-inch rainfall totals and tropical downpours here. We're in the mid-80s this afternoon. Some of the storms could pack a punch with a severe weather threat for us. And then a much-improved Sunday forecast. Sunshine, a high of 84, low 67. More showers Monday, Tuesday, with highs in the upper 70s near 80 degrees and lows near 70. I'm Scott Laurie, more at the Weather Channel on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras?
How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery. Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a battery warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the battery warehouse near you.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. We don't take our trips on LSD. We don't burn our draft cards down on Main Street. 'Cause we like living right and being free. We don't make a party out of loving, but we like holding hands and pitching woo. We don't let our hair grow long and shaggy like the hippies out in San Francisco do. And I'm proud to be an Okie from Muskogee, a place where even squares can have a ball. We still wave old glory down at the courthouse, and white lightning's still the biggest thrill of all.
All right. Let's talk to Vincent.
Their boots are still in style.
Morning, Vincent.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm well. I'm just counting down the days until Squirrel Day.
Squirrel Day. Good for you.
Yep, it's my favorite. But with you being an avid hunter as well, I'm just calling in curiosity. What has been your favorite animal to hunt throughout your entire lifetime?
Throughout my entire lifetime.
Or the most distinctive memory that you have.
That's two different questions. But the game I started out with, I mean, I started with squirrels, but, man, I loved rabbit hunting. The rabbits were just, that was my favorite thing. I still enjoy rabbit hunting a lot. And, I don't get to do it as much as I did when I was a kid and lived, on a couple of hundred acres where I could, roam free and kick rabbits out of any kind of habitat we had. It was brushed over fields or, under creek banks or in the marsh or anything like that. So, I mean, I did a lot of rabbit hunting when I was a kid and thoroughly enjoyed. No dogs. I hunt behind dogs now with some friends, but no dogs at that point. It was just you and the bunny, and out you would go. And I hunted them in the snow, and I hunted them in plowed fields, and I hunted them in briar patches, and I hunted them in, out of wood piles and, brush piles and things like that. So I learned a lot about where rabbits hide and where they go when it's cold and, below zero and all that stuff. So I just loved starting out with the rabbits. And then, of course, I started deer hunting. And I would say that deer hunting is probably my favorite right now because for me it's a solitary sport. I can sit in the woods and nothing has to happen, and I can enjoy myself for, a 10-hour day. I like to see deer, but, I also like to get out in the solitude and see everything else that's moving around me, even the little songbirds that come in we've all been there. If we've hunted deer for any length of time, all of a sudden you'll hear the birds just coming in, and you're looking, and there's all kinds of little birds around you. There's wrens and warblers and nuthatches and, wow, look at this, they're all right here at the same time. So, that's the kind of cool thing I like to do. But deer hunting is probably number one right now. Number two would probably be duck hunting, although I haven't duck hunted in a couple of years. I really miss it, and I've got a couple duck trips planned this year. I like sea duck hunting, but I don't love it because, they're impossible to eat. It's a lot of fun shooting, but I do my best to eat as many as I can. But they're just real difficult to eat. But any kind of diver duck, you know, canvasback, bluebills, even mallards, you know, whatever comes in a duck blind is what is probably my second favorite type of hunting. Just don't have that opportunity to do it that much.
Yeah. So. Yeah, well, I'm a big fan of squirrel, and I'm just counting down the days.
Well, you'll like the article that's in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly if you get a copy of it. It's a repeat of a story we did in 2014. Tom O'Connell, the former fisheries director, wrote it. And it's about kids and squirrels and Brunswick stew and what it takes to get a few squirrels. And there's some skinning advice there. So I think there's a YouTube video that's referenced. There's a recipe for Brunswick stew done in a Dutch oven. So, you know, it's all good. I mean, I love squirrels. I mean, my grandfather was a squirrel hunter. Probably the first game animal I went after was squirrels. But it didn't become my favorite. I think that was your question. So,
is that book you all keep talking about?
No, the book we keep talking about is called Maryland's Finest. It's Maryland's record book for big game. It's a historical book. It's never been done before. And we list all the records of all the big game that's available out there. Our company, Bucks, Bears, Stags, our team, has been measuring whitetail and sika deer and black bear for over 3 years. And we put together this book. The group was formed, the company was formed, with the intent to put out a Maryland record book for big game. And we were able to obtain the public records from the Maryland Deer Reports from 1988 on to 2018. And we were able to get the Boone and Crockett, which is the repository for big game animals taken in North America. And we were able to get the Pope and Young records for Maryland, 900 and some records from them of deer that have been measured for Pope and Young and Boone and Crockett. We have our own deer that were measured, and then, you know, we've drawn from four or five different sources here and put it all together in a compilation of you know, the top 30 in each category, and then our group with pictures, over almost 200 pictures in this book, and almost 3,000 names of people who hold the records, and stories of some of the top deer from, you know, sika deer and whitetails and black bears, some of the top deer in Maryland. So it's called Maryland's Finest, and it's available online at bucks-bears-stags.com.
Yeah, I'll probably go up to Clyde to pick up a copy.
Well, there you go. Yep, he's got a copy, that's for sure.
So. Yep, I'm definitely a fan of pictures and books.
Well, you'll like this one. You'll like this one. Maryland Hunting Quarterly is also available there. It's that's a free publication that comes out every 3 months. So,
okay.
There you go.
All right, Alan. Well, thank you very much.
All right, thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Have a good morning.
You too. Let's talk to Glenn. Morning, Glenn.
Good job, Dave. Getting through these floods.
Yeah, we're getting through them okay. A little wet out in the yard, but we're fine.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I guess our dove season and resident goose season is getting ready to start.
Yeah, you're right about that. You are right about that. So,
I think one morning I heard some out. I live in the area that's, I'm on the water view side of the road, but,
right.
I think it was in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't the first thing, but, I heard some geese out there. I think that's the only ones I've heard.
Wow. Well, the resident geese, I'm seeing those resident flocks starting to do a little flying these days. Of course, the first split of the dove season, September 1st to October 17th, during the first season, you know, you can't shoot them from noon. You can only shoot them from noon till sunset.
Right.
And then the early resident Canada goose season in the eastern zone is from the 1st to the 15th. That's here on the shore. And the western zone is from the 1st to the 25th. So a lot of people like that season because it gets them out and gets them shooting early, but you know, you got to get to the goose quickly and get them cleaned up because you don't want to let them you know, sit in the heat, you know.
Hot, really.
Yeah, it's pretty hot. Yeah, no question. So, yeah. So, well, I'm glad to hear you're at least out there listening. So, enjoy your weekend and stay dry, Glenn.
And tell Robin I said hi, and she gets feeling better and gone.
I will do that. Yep. She's feeling okay. She just the steroids just keep her awake at night. So when she's able to sleep, you know, we let her sleep. So, all right, buddy.
All right.
Thank you, bud. Take care, Glenn.
Yeah, you too.
All right. Bye bye. Let's talk to Ronald. Good morning, Ronald.
Hey, good morning, Alan. Good morning, Alan. It's not duck season. It's rabbit season. Rabbit season, Alan.
Yeah, I know what you're getting at, Ronald.
Yeah.
Doing the Elmer Fudd thing. Yep.
Alan, it's rabbit season. You know it. You know it's not duck season yet. Alan, that guy, I just got to say, good morning, Alan, and to the lovely wife that told her we said hello and everything there.
I'll do that.
Miss Ruth and I, but, you know, I'm not with Miss Ruth, but I'm home by myself, girl. But I just wanted to ask you, Alan, did you ever, since like you said, you're in Eastern, and did you ever meet my good old buddy who drove for Valley Protein there, the trucks with VP on the side, as long as you've been down there? Schultz, Mr. Schultz, man, Charles Schultz.
No, I haven't met him. I haven't met him.
Oh, I thought maybe, you know, since...
No, I haven't met him.
Sure, too, you know, and he drove for Valley
Protein. Protein, yeah. Do you know what the toll-free number is for Valley Protein?
Not that offhand, I can't remember, because, you know, I drove about almost 8 years for Valley Protein. Good company and everything, good money and everything,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Back in the day.
It's 1-800-DEAD-COW.
Wait, Alan, I think I got to remember that number. Sorry.
1-800-DEAD-COW. That's Valley Protein. Yep. All right, Ronald. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Good company and everything there.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I said thank you for the call. We've got a lot of callers on the line here for this hour. So.
All right. Give out the calls. To you and the family and everybody.
We will do that.
Y'all have a good one.
All righty. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Alan. Love the show. Love the show.
I know you do, buddy. Thank you so much.
Okay, buddy.
All right, man. Let's talk to Peter. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Alan. Good morning. I hope your girl gets better.
Yeah, me too. No, she's fine. No,
she'll come along a little bit at a time.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens here in the second hour. She might get up and she might not. So,
well, that's okay. Let her sleep.
Yeah, that's my philosophy, no question.
Yeah, let her sleep.
Yep.
Alan, listen, I have a bit of an off the wall kind of topic.
Okay.
I want to hunt wild boar.
Okay.
I'm not sure exactly where I'm going to find them. I'm moving out of Maryland for sure. Okay.
Right.
But I know they walk the woods, you know, and I'm not sure where I'm going to find one. I want to find a big black boar.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I want to hunt him is not with a firearm, but with a lance.
Okay. Yep.
And
I know there are outfitters and plenty of outfitters in Florida that will allow you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But for, you know, Tennessee and the further south you go, the better the boar hunting.
Yeah.
You know, Texas is overrun with them, but Florida would be the place to do what you want to do. You run them with the dogs.
No. I want to build my own lance. Okay, I want to get right next to him and get to him with a lance.
Well, the way you're going to have to do that is, you know, figure out, it's almost impossible unless you do like a tree stand, an elevated stand, or maybe a ground blind. I'm not sure how that would work.
No. I got to be able to find one walking through the woods eating acorns.
Okay,
they're eating... You know, he's eating an acorn. Okay?
That's right.
What he's doing. So he's focused on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, I'm gonna kill him with a lance.
Got it.
You know? a yeah. very close hand. Okay?
Sure.
8 mm-hmm. feet away.
Okay.
All right. Now, the question is, it's a big pig, you know. He could
mm-hmm.
weigh.
Yeah, no
he
question.
Could, he could weigh 250 pounds or something.
Or more, yeah.
All right? Mm-hmm. You know. And now the question is, we want to use every bit of him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do I hang him? When I hang him from a limb, do I hang him head side up or leg side down or you know, we want
most people
cut him out.
Yeah,
know?
Most people would hang him from the hocks, but you would dress him out while he was on his back on the ground, and then you would hang him from the hocks. I would imagine some outfitters hang him by the neck. Some you know, some of them hang him from the hocks,
yeah.
and there you go. So
yeah.
But you're going to have to.
We want to use every bit of him.
Sure, of course.
We want to use every bit of him, including the hide. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But, I mean, a big pig like that could feed a small, you know, a small community, you know,
mm-hmm.
people that, you know, we use every single bit of him.
I get that. Yep.
You know what I mean?
Sure,
Pete. So you can go either way, I guess, in terms of once I kill him, and, you know, the method of doing it
yep.
is, you know, there's no firearm involved.
I got it, Peter. You're going over the same point time and time again. So
we get
the idea that you want to kill a pig with a lance and use the entire whole hog, so
absolutely,
to speak.
Absolutely, and share it with the entire community.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I do. Peter, thank you so much for the call. We've got to move along. Have a good day. You know, Macrotech Archery Pro Shop has moved to a new location and is open at 8043 Fort Smallwood Road in Riviera Beach. I was there the other day. I actually stopped by there, Captain Don, and visited the folks at Macrotech. I talked to Corey there. He's a top-notch bow tech. And, you know, Len Marsh, the owner, is one of Maryland and the United States' most respected bow technicians and bow shop owners. Beginners and diehard bow hunters and athletes and the well-connected know about Len, and they know about Macrotech Archery's reputation for excellence. He's tuned my Bowtech bow, got me shooting perfect, and he's recabled and strung my 10-point crossbow. Corey, as I mentioned, the bow technician, top-notch. Macrotech Archery Pro Shop carries Matthews, including the new VXR, Mission Bows and Crossbows, Bowtech, Diamond, and Hoyt. Crossbows include Raven and 10-point. They tune each bow and crossbow to perfection before it leaves the store, and it will fit your unique draw length and poundage requirements. All the accessories for your bow will be mounted correctly, and they have a full lineup of custom arrows and sights and rests and broadheads and much more. And if you ask, they can observe and correct any shooting issues you may have on the indoor range. Plus, Macrotech is a certified service center for 10-point, Wicked Ridge, and Horton crossbows. If you have one and it needs a little service, stop by and see Macrotech. Stop by the new Macrotech Archery Pro Shop at 8043 Fort Smallwood Road. It's actually in Curtis Bay, Riviera Beach. It's right there on the line. You'll see it at that 8043 Fort Smallwood Road. They're now open. Visit MacrotechArchery.com or their Facebook page, too. Phone number, 410-789-7777. That's 410-789-7777. Macro knows bows. Now, guns wanted. Guns are wanted. Any make, any model, any age, any condition. Albright's Gun Shop in Easton, Maryland wants guns. If you have a single gun or you have an entire collection to consider, call Albright's Gun Shop at 410-820-8811. That's 410-820-8811. Now, I've been dealing with Larry Albright and the crew at Albright's Gun Shop for over 25 of their 37 years. I know these guys, and I wouldn't hesitate to call Albright's at 410-820-8811 if I had a shotgun or a rifle to sell or consign. You can trust them, period. Albright's Gun Shop is also a Cesar Guarini elite dealer. You can call or stop by Albright's to make an appointment to visit the Cesar Guarini factory and select your firearm. This offer is for Siren and Fab Arm firearms as well. Albright's carries Beretta and Benelli and all other firearms for every budget, both new and pre-owned. And now Albright's has expanded their muzzle-loading department with muzzle-loading firearms and accessories, Thompson Center Firearms, as well as an in-house expert, that'd be Chuck, to expand your deer season. Stop by 36 East Dover Street in Easton, across from the Tidewater Inn, to visit this landmark gun shop. Online, it's AlbrightsGunShop.com, or call 410-820-8811 today for Albright's Gun Shop. Chris?
Yes, sir.
Have anything to play right now?
No, sir. Nothing.
Do we? We're almost out of time. We really don't have time for any other callers, do we?
No, we don't. Not for this hour.
Not for this hour, but certainly 410-922-6680. Write it down, and you can give us a call right after the news in the next hour. That would be lovely. In the meantime, if you'd like to read about straight wall cartridges, if you'd like to read about what happened with the budget and hunters and the Wildlife and Heritage Service, if you would, and General Assembly, if you'd like to read about, ooh, I don't know, making venison breakfast sausage for sandwiches, if you'd like to read about squirrels and kids, it's all in Maryland Hunting Quarterly. It's available online. It's available at your local shop. Just pick it up. It's free. Visit it online at MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com. If you'd like to order the record book, you can stop by Clyde's or Chesapeake Outdoors or any of the other locations that may have it, and they're on our Facebook page. But the easiest way to do it is to go online and order it at bucks-bears-stags, as in Sika Stags, bucks-bears-stags, with dashes in between, .com, and you can order your record book right there. And we appreciate it. How about that?
And I strongly suggest you get yourself a copy. It
well, thank you, Chris.
Book.
I appreciate that endorsement so much. Well, the more it gets out there, the more people are talking about it. And, I mean, the compliments just keep on coming. And we, you know, we did our best to be as accurate as possible with what we had available. And people are really enjoying it. So, all right. Well, there's the number, 410-922-6680. Write it down. Call us after the news, and we will be right back after this. Oh, there's the music. Sparky's been taking over the
yeah, you're a little rusty.
The little words, yeah. Get out. Stay out. Stay safe. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Use hand sanitizer and social distance.